are living in urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, friends. It is a pleasure to be with you November 25th, 2024, the week of Thanksgiving. And I'm sure a lot of you are running around and maybe traveling. And I hope that we gather some new listeners today who may be in the car or listening on their phone or listening through Odyssey or iHeart, but most importantly through WTMR 800 on the AM dial. So I'm thankful to be with you live today, and I ask that we begin this broadcast in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we offer this program to you today. We dedicate this program to all those who are listening, to all those who are feeling lonely or not included in family gatherings or do not have a family. We pray for everyone today, Lord Jesus, to be touched by this program and this radio network in a very special way. We again pray for all the victims of Hurricane Milton and Helene. And we pray, Lord Jesus, for the people who are living in tents, families who are literally living in tents in the hurricane-ravaged areas as the snow falls and the temperatures are dropping. I've seen this on the news quite a bit in the past week, and my heart has been breaking. So I ask that we pray for assistance to get to them, that they will not be in tents. Even two-month-old babies with their families are in these tents. So even though the hurricane happened in early fall, the areas are ravaged, and it's going to take years to rebuild. But most importantly, people are hungry, and they need the basic needs. So, Jesus, we ask for a special angel to come in and take care of them, especially this week, Lord Jesus. We pray in Thanksgiving in advance for the blessing upon those families that are living in tents and who are suffering. We pray, Lord Jesus, for all the people who are suffering from floods, even in the Philadelphia area and around the world. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you protect them and just be with them in a special way. And of course, Lord Jesus, we pray for the global crisis in the Ukraine and the Middle East. We pray that there is absolutely a peaceful ending to this and no global war, Lord Jesus. We ask for peace to reign, the peace of heaven to reign upon all the hatred and revenge that exists around the world and in this country. And dear Blessed Lady Guadalupe, we dedicate this program to you. And again, we pray for everyone in a very special way. In Jesus' holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. So I don't know about you guys, but my husband and I went out to buy our turkeys on Saturday morning. And we unfortunately chose a 22-pound frozen turkey, which I don't think it will thaw out for Thanksgiving. I'm not sure. I'm praying because I've never had one this large or frozen, but I have 15 family members coming to our home, and I'm just praying that we don't have to do takeout because, again, the turkey is so large, and right now it could break windows. It is so frozen. It's just not thawing. So please pray for me. This is not my ideal situation. I'm still struggling with some medical issues, and I'm laughing because I knew that this would be difficult to take this on, but I have not had anything with my family in over 2 years because last year I was in the hospital. So please pray for me to be able to get that turkey thawed and that all the members of my family will be able to eat on Thanksgiving. And it used to be, I used to take off from work for a week before Thanksgiving because it was a joke that I couldn't cook. and it would take me a week to think about it and prepare it. Well, I have it down to a science, but not this huge turkey. So I thank you for your prayers, even though they seem ridiculous in light of everything going on in the world. But that turkey is not thawing, even in my refrigerator since Saturday morning. So let us laugh together. I will be sharing some turkey stories with you next Monday of what happened. We may have to turn the ham for all I know. But anyway, the theme the Lord placed on my heart today, are you stuffing your feelings along with stuffing your turkey? How many times over the years I've seen in the media how people really do not like holiday gatherings where they have to sit next to someone they had a fight with or they had a problem with them, and what do? Or, you know, we're all being warned not to talk about politics at the Thanksgiving table this year, aren't we? On all the network news, don't talk about politics unless people are of like mind, and definitely never talk about religion, even though we all pray. We pray grace before our meal. So it should be very interesting, because I thought this was a very powerful topic. And as I prepared for this, you know, there were a couple things that came to mind, and I'm going to share some scriptures with you. So if you happen to be one of those individuals running down the steps right now into the kitchen, or you're in your office, or you're in your car leaving work, this program's for you, my friends. This program's for you. And by the way, it's for me as well. So I want to share with you that if you feel blocked inside, you really don't want to go to Thanksgiving with some of those family members, here's the scripture the Lord has for all of us. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. That's from Revelation, the book of Revelation 3:20. Now, we've all seen the pictures on the holy cards of the Lord knocking on the door with no handle. Well, that's where we're all at this week, aren't we? We're all knocking at the door, no handle, and we're trusting that everything will be well, right? Everything will be well. So, as you know, St. Mother Teresa once said, and I love this quote, knowledge of God gives love, and knowledge of self gives humility. Now, you all know she was a very humble woman. We've talked about her for years on this broadcast. She was a very humble woman, and she always reflected God's love. And as I shared in the last broadcast, my friend Father Leo Mosberg from Austria, who traveled with her and wrote a book about her, said she really suffered the dark night of the soul. She really, really prayed when she didn't even hear the voice of the Lord. You're not going to hear the voice of the Lord at your dining room table or your kitchen table or on your little TV table, but you may, I don't know. But in his confession, St. Augustine says, we know our misery by encountering God's majesty. Our two confessions, St. Augustine says, are God's glory and man's sinfulness. We meet at the cross of Christ, don't we? When God shows us uncomfortable things about ourselves, we feel humbled and certainly more aware of our dependence on him. Like a child is dependent on us as parents or grandparents, right? Very dependent on us. So Jesus tells us, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's from Matthew 18, verse 3. Now, I don't know about you, but our deepest emotions have a real childlike quality, don't they? Now, children are always open. They're coachable. They're teachable. They trust. They're free of all this intellectual garbage, hindrances, and complicated motives. Now, God wants us to uncover those hidden motives and barriers in our hearts today to help us deal with them, certainly before Thanksgiving Day. Now, young children haven't yet learned to hide their feelings. I don't know about you, but my kids had temper tantrums. It was rather funny. Always, we always had a temper tantrum at the worst time. And my favorite children's story, do you remember the book, The Velveteen Rabbit? If you haven't, try to find it. It's a classic tale about a toy rabbit that is loved unto becoming real. That's right. It's a velvet rabbit that is a toy rabbit that is so loved it becomes real. Now, it loses its fur and buttons from being loved and petted, but it becomes real in the loving. Jesus wants us loved into real. Yep, and now that's a little hard this week, especially with the holiday season starting. Remember we talked about, are we stuffing our feelings while we're stuffing the turkey? He wants us loved into real. Now, he doesn't want us to fake being nice, fake being loving. He wants us to be actual loving. Now, God's love takes away the fear of being real, doesn't it? And it helps us to accept and enjoy ourselves the way he created us to be. Now, I don't know about you, but we may have 5,000 areas in our lives that need fixing today. Excuse me. This lovely cough that need fixing today. But the Holy Spirit will point out that one area that needs fixing and says to us, we'll work on this. Again, you could have 5,000 imperfections and problems as you listen to this program. And you're thinking, oh, I have 5,000 of them. Or Joe or Mary or Susie, they have 5,000 areas and they're going to be sitting at my dining room or kitchen table and they all need to be fixed. But the Holy Spirit will point out that one area and say, we'll work on this. Now, as we allow Jesus to guide us in the Holy Spirit in the following steps and begin to face things in our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, we need to become docile children in the hands of a loving God. Now, let's go to him in humble trust. First, as I cough. Second, as we get in touch with our feelings. Number two, we invite the Holy Spirit into these feelings. We consider an example from Scripture. We read how one person handled similar feelings. Now, it may be in the life of a saint. It may be through a TikTok video that you look at in the middle of the night. It may be bringing the feelings to God, not to gossip, not to whine, but bring them to God and listen to what God may say. Pray for others with similar struggles as you. You're not the only one. And begin to praise God. Begin to praise him. Begin to bless him. Begin to bless that person that bugs the daylights out of you, that is ignorant or rude to you. I want you tonight to write down a prayer for your specific needs before you approach the Thanksgiving table or any table. So, Jesus wants us to come in humility, asking, what do you want me to do for you? Mark 10, verse 51. You speak tenderly to our fearful hearts, as if to say, beloved, I know the twisted and tangled places in your soul, but look to Jesus. Come to the light in the cross. That light is my resurrection love that takes you beyond brokenness. We need to pray, oh Father, let the truth of your love flow freely within us as we come to you now. Help us to feel the feelings we need to feel, but not be overcome or governed by them. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. It's powerful, isn't it? Very, very powerful. And again, The purpose of this program is for you not to stuff the secrets and the pain and the hatred that's in your heart and bring it to the Thanksgiving table or to any time you're with other people. Now, do you remember the story of Jesus stopping in Samaria and meeting a woman at Jacob's well? I hope many of you watched the beautiful series, The Chosen. Highly recommend it. Highly recommend it. And when he asked her to draw some water for him to drink, she was amazed that he would speak to her. And as the story unfolds, Jesus reveals his knowledge of her shameful past. And he said, "The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." In his presence, the shame this woman felt melted away. He didn't judge her or condemn her, did he? He accepted her and took her to higher ground. And she was able to worship because she saw he was genuine. Oh my goodness. Had this conversation about 2 weeks ago with someone saying how the Lord, do you remember Matthew Kelly wrote a book, Becoming the Best Version of Yourself? That's what Jesus wants of all of us. He wants us to become genuine, authentic servants, disciples. And Jesus always says that we have to worship in spirit, not the great big spirit, the Holy Spirit, and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And he says, "Beloved, I love truthfulness." Now, many conversations I've had with friends who are in predicaments, you know, in terms of decision making, and they've been hurting, and they want to hold back this secret. They want to hold back the part of them that feels ashamed. And I learned many years ago from a very beautiful spiritual director. He said, "Anne, when in doubt, always hold the secret or the darkness up to the light. Don't let it breed into something more than it is. Hold it up to the light," which means be truthful, not mean, be genuine, authentic. See, Jesus loves truthfulness. So you've been hurt, and you certainly have hurt others. He is here to restore you today. He unbinds you from the shame of your past. Yes. And if you're Roman Catholic, it's through the sacrament of reconciliation. One time a friend, it's probably 25 years ago, asked for prayer for deep depression. Now, the Lord asked her to lay down the depression and dance before him as an act of trust and worship. I remember this because I was praying with a special friend of this apostolate. And I remember the Lord placed it on my heart to tell her to dance before him as an act of trust and worship. Now, I'm not talking about in a dance hall. I'm in the privacy of one's home. And so we did it together in her living room. It was very strange, trust me. We started, it was pretty awkward, but ended, it was so joyful. Now, if you're listening today, would you let the Lord release you in this way? Lay down your shame as a love offering. Stand up, raise your hands, and praise him. Now, praise him is, "Thank you, Jesus." Sometimes, and many times, I use praise and worship music to praise him. Because maybe I can't pray, and so I use praise and worship music to praise him. So even dance a few steps. Now, that doesn't mean you have to do a salsa, but dance a few steps. "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." That's from Psalm 16, verses 11. Now, if you're Catholic and you're listening, in the Catholic tradition of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, or confession, as it was known when I was growing up, there is a prayer called the Act of Contrition. Now, one line keeps coming up in my heart. "I firmly resolve with the help of God's grace." Remember that? To sin no more. Our healing and restoration, friends, involves resolve and grace. If we set our hearts on God's will and open it to the ability of God's grace working in us, enabling us to do what we can't do on our own. We can't do this on our own. Open up to Psalm 142, verse 6. Listen to my cry, for I'm in desperate need. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Now, many times we've had teachings and opening up to one line in the sacred scriptures and meditating upon it. Give God your pain today as an offering of love and open your heart in gratitude. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Thank him for your life. Kneel if you can. Raise your arms to heaven and sing him a love song. He is here. His presence grows stronger as you praise him. I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down. Psalm 5, verses 7. Now, the Bible reveals much that God wants us to know about his own character and love, doesn't it? Now, in the Bible, God the Father is revealed as the one with overall mastery of everything, this entire universe. Out of his love, all goodness comes. Now, God the Son, Jesus Christ, comes to us as our loving Savior to reveal and impart the character of God. We invite him to be Lord of all areas of our life, including those broken, painful areas that we just can't deal with today. The Holy Spirit's work is to unite us to Jesus and enable us to live in him. Did you know that all of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, want us to know and believe in this love? You know, I saw this short video maybe a few nights ago. I couldn't sleep. And I saw this video of Pastor Rick Warren. Many of you may know him or have read his books. And he was addressing a college graduation. And he talked about God's love, how we know it intellectually, but we need to receive it to believe it. And that the most important thing in this world would not be our degrees. It's knowing and serving and loving the Lord and embracing and receiving that love. We're hardened. Our hearts are hardened from receiving that love. He's revealing to us every day his love, isn't he? He's revealing to us his love every day. So how about those of you who are listening right now? You're getting ready for the Thanksgiving table, and you have been betrayed by a family member who shared maybe something you didn't want shared, who embarrasses you, who has hurt your family in some way, and you have to sit across the table from them. The scripture, I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. Jesus lived with disloyalty all the time, didn't he? Deception, betrayal from those he loved and counted on the most. And one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, the keeper of the old money bag, went to the chief priests and agreed to betray Jesus for 30 silver coins. Now, we all know that Judas was a greedy, dishonest hypocrite. And when he awakened to his sin, if you read the scriptures, he said, I betrayed innocent blood, from Matthew 27, verse 4. But when Jesus was betrayed, he kept an open, forgiving heart and went to the cross carrying the suffering of humanity. So let's pour out our hearts to Jesus today who really, truly understands betrayal. God can also strengthen us through the betrayal and even use that event to bring about our destiny. Did you know that? Loving God, thank you for touching others who have been betrayed and who have betrayed me. It may be marriage infidelity, gossiping, that nasty look, lying, stealing, cheating. Please help them recover today. Forgive everyone involved. Help them to turn to you, Lord, as we are all learning to do today. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. That's Romans 5:5. You see the importance of Scripture guiding us along to get us to that table so we're not stuffing our secrets and our betrayals? Now, here's something to think about. And it's from the forgiveness teachings of a very holy priest. You may have heard of him in Generational Healing, Father Robert de Grandis. And I wrote these down on a piece of paper a long time ago. He said, in my forgiveness teachings, I invite people to remove from the heart, from hurt to healing through these steps. Recognize the offense. Look at it and feel it. Don't pretend it didn't happen. Feel it. Surrender the hurt to Jesus as a love offering. Lord, I give you this pain. I give you this hurt. I offer it up to you. Choose to forgive. It's a decision. It's not a feeling. Ask Jesus to forgive them for you if you can. Now ask Jesus to not bring up the offense again. Now compassion for the one who hurt you is really hard, isn't it? But I remember Father de Grandis said, compassion is critical for the one who hurt you. Now receive healing for your vulnerability. Ugh. Maybe you're broken inside and it absorbed into you like a sponge. Go the extra mile. Bless those who hurt you. Oh, my goodness. That's one of the toughest, isn't it? Bless those who hurt you. So how do you do that? It's simple. Jesus, I ask that you bless so-and-so. They really, really hurt me. You don't want revenge. You don't have malicious intent. Please bless them. Once you can say, bless them, Lord, you're healed. Many people are healed through blessing those who have hurt them. Gratitude for the work accomplished and the work in progress in you. Do you remember Batsy Bleasdale, an old charismatic from the islands? She said, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the treasure hidden in the event he allowed you to experience. She used to speak at all the big charismatic events throughout the decades. Amazing. She would always say, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the treasure hidden in the event he allowed you to experience. And when you're struggling to forgive yourself, try instead to open to God's forgiveness. He is deep and lasting, where your effort may just last for a moment. My friends, after this commercial break, we'll be back for more in terms of preparing for Thanksgiving and letting go of the secrets and hurts in our lives. Stay tuned.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGloon, and we are live every Monday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., and the program is called Thy Will Be Done. Thy Will Be Done. So today we're talking about my favorite topic for the week, and it is, are you stuffing your feelings along with stuffing your turkey? Well, this really pertains to any day of the week or any family gathering, but in particular this week. So I ask that you stay with me because I hope and pray that someone is touched by this program and has the courage to embark on a loving, thankful Thanksgiving and holiday season and Advent season, and that it changes lives in a very special way. So what if you're feeling really angry today? What if you're feeling really angry? You do not want to go to this person's house. You don't want to be there. Or you're angry, you have to bring an awful lot of food and you didn't want to do it. So in John 4, verse 9, I am angry enough to die. Oh, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? I'm angry enough to die. Now, Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple, didn't he? He attacked behavior, not people. Now think about that. He attacked behavior, not the people. He turned over the table in the temple, but he didn't hurt the people. Isn't that profound? Now he wants to turn the table on our anger today so it won't hurt us anymore. Now, as the Holy Spirit helps us to be honest about our anger, remember we talked about that genuineness, that becoming the best version of ourselves. He will show us how to deal with behavior without attacking people. Now, many of us were told to not be angry. Oh, hold it in. Don't be angry. Just hold it in to after dinner or after you leave the house. Hold it in. So we learned harmful ways of covering and coping. God has a better plan, my friends. He tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires for us. That's from James 1, verses 19 to 20. If you have a concordance, or maybe that's something you should order for Christmas, a concordance, so you'll know how to look up certain scriptures. Give your anger today to Jesus as a statement of trust in him. Humble yourself and praise him for his love, his truth. Sing him a love song. It could be Our Father. Sing the Our Father or Hail Mary. Again, raise your hands, and if you can kneel, if you don't have bad knees, prostrate yourself on the floor, if you can. Ask for a spirit of joy to envelop you. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So one evening in prayer, this is in my journal, maybe 15 years ago, I asked the Lord what he would like to teach me about trusting him. Now, these words flowed maybe partly from heaven. Now, if you really knew me, you would never fear again. You would always turn to me. In your sorrow, I would lift you beyond the pain. In your challenges, I would bring victory. And even in angry moments, I will hold you stable. In your temptation, I will activate virtue. In your confusion, I will bring order. And if you would trust me and entrust to me all your thoughts, your feelings, and actions, I could actually revitalize your life. I'm here to be here for what you need me to be. I love you so much. Didn't feel so lovable back then. And when you place your primary trust in people, they'll let you down. Love them, but put your trust in me, Jesus Christ. And when your foundational trust is in me, even when people betray you, you'll not be crushed, even if it is by those closest to you. It's all about relationship with Jesus, knowing and trusting in his love for you. And that was a journal entry. I must have 35 years of journals of prayers to Jesus and entries, and sometimes I've missed, and other times I've been faithful every day. So have you ever felt afraid? Like you're afraid? My thoughts trouble me and I'm distraught. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horrors overwhelmed me, from Psalm 55, verses 2 and 5. Do you remember Peter walking on the water to Jesus? But when he saw the wind, he got afraid. He was really afraid when he heard the wind. And when he took his eyes off Jesus, he was so tormented. Jesus spoke to the storm, "Quiet, be still." That's from Mark 4, verses 39. And guess what? The wind obeyed. And when Jesus is with us, the storm is always calmed. There's always a storm when we entertain fear, isn't there? But we can choose what we entertain in our minds. It's a choice. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, verse 7. Powerful God, you're the love that drives away the fear of those who are listening today. In the name of Jesus, we come against any evil influence that would hold our listeners captive to fear, and we break its power in the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for driving away the enemy and helping your people to trust in you. If there is a family pattern of fear, yes, a family pattern of fear, let it stop now. Please, Lord, touch deeper levels of fear. If unhealthy vows were made in fear, please bring them to light to be reversed. If they have self-defeating thought processes, help them change. Come, Holy Spirit, expose the lies and reveal your truth. Thank you, God, for settling them in your love. In Jesus' name I pray, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, have you seen the Lord? Have you placed your safety in his hands? Sing out loud to Jesus and welcome him right now in your presence. I have seen you in the sanctuary and behold your power and your glory. Psalm 63, verse 2. So what if you're feeling rejected today? Again, we're really addressing those stumbling blocks that keep us from being joyful servants of the Lord, loving members of a family, or loving members to a stranger. When I stumbled, they gathered in glee. Attackers gathered around me when I was unaware. That's actually from Psalm 35, verse 15. So, Lord God, in humble trust, I ask you to waken up our hearts of our listeners to your truth today. What do you want us all to understand about rejection? What do you want to heal in all of us? Send your Holy Spirit into this rejection, especially rooted in our childhood feelings of rejection. Please help us to acknowledge the hurt and respond in a way that pleases you. Lord, we give you permission to heal us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, have you ever heard that before? We give you permission to heal us. Yes, we give you permission to heal the family gathering. We choose healing for our family. Do you remember St. Stephen? He was a man filled with grace and power, and he spoke truth to religious leaders of his day. And you also remember he was stoned, right? And in particular, he insisted that God did not dwell just in a temple. Great opposition, trust me, arose. And again, if you watch The Chosen, you'll be able to see this. And people were stirred up against him. They dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. God's people today throw stones of rejection at each other all the time, causing great harm. We beat each other up with words. We criticize other denominations. We reject. We really wound the souls of God's people. Well, maybe we don't, or maybe you don't. Sometimes that rejection can be very subtle, and it's very devious. It's really a distortion that's very common among Christians, taking a thread of truth, twisting it into a lie. Now, many Christians are becoming entangled in a web of lies and deceit. God tells us to purify our hearts. When our hearts are pure, the stones thrown at us may bruise us, but they won't break us. And when Stephen was being stoned, he looked up to heaven, saw the glory of God. He fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Does this sound familiar to us? In Psalm 103, verse 1, praise the Lord, all my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Surrender your hurt today. If you're just tuning in to Jesus as a love offering, and begin to praise his holy name. Tell him how wonderful he is. Thank him for forgiving your sins, redeeming your life from the pits, from graveling in the dirt, and crowning you with love, his mercy and compassion. Pour out your love and gratitude. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Come out of hiding. Proclaim with your voice, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. Now, I want you to think about this. To protect our lives, God wants us in touch with our conscience, our inner awareness of conforming to his will or departing from it. In the book, My Utmost for His Highest says the one thing that keeps the conscience sensitive to Christ is the continual habit of being open to God on the inside. Oh my, to being open to God on the inside. Now, when you feel like a failure, again, we're talking about issues, stones that are covered with moss today that need healing to prepare us to not stuff our secrets and our pain inside as we praise, thank God this week and at this moment. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And that's from Romans 7, verses 15. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Now, if you remember, after Jesus was arrested, Peter disowned him. Do you remember that? A girl saw him watching the proceedings and said, "This man was with him." But Peter denied it, didn't he? "Woman, I don't know him." Now, Peter denied Jesus three times, and then Jesus turned around and restored him. We have a God of second chances, don't we? Maybe you need to hear this today. We have a God of second chances. We all fail. And Jesus says, "Your life isn't finished yet. The last song hasn't been sung." God helps us turn around with that second chance and then tells us, "When you've turned back, strengthen your brothers. And after we've been humbled, we are better able to help others." Father God, thank you for inviting me, this faithful listener, to pray for others who struggle with failure. It could be today, Father, family failures, unemployment, marriage, school, financial, friendships, smoking, drinking, drugs, betrayal, addictions. Maybe they just gave up because everything was just too hard. Please forgive them, God, and help them as you are helping me. Give them that second chance. Give them that second chance, which is his mercy. When God asks us to do something, he provides the power to do it. That power is the Holy Spirit, my friends. He's our enabler, the Spirit of truth. To enable means to make us able to do something, to make possible, to equip us. Our job is to believe in him and to let him heal us. This is not passive acknowledgement, but it's passionate participation. Thank you, Lord, for working in me to will and to act according to your good purposes. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? Well, what about if you're feeling insecure today? So you're driving down the Schuylkill Expressway or I-95 or I-80 or 295, and you're feeling really insecure. And you're saying, "I'm the least in my family." In the book of Judges 6, verse 15, you're not confident. You're not sure. Do you remember Zacchaeus? I read on social media that Ken Johnston, who has the Wednesday program with Father Doug McKay, said that Zacchaeus meant a lot to him in his conversionary story. I thought that was very interesting. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was a little lonely guy, wealthy outcast, despised by all the villagers, and he was too small to see Jesus in the crowd. So what did he do? He climbed onto a tree as Jesus passed by. Now, Jesus, if you remember, found him there and asked to stay at his house. Love raised up Zacchaeus that day. So wanting to prove how love changed him, he offered half his wealth back to the community. Now, many people feel insignificant and unable to achieve anything worthwhile around people they look up to. We idolize people, don't we? We idolize people. Behold, I care about every detail of your life. Let me teach you about who you really are. Begin to believe the truth of my love for you. Come to me daily and receive my love. Come to me hourly and receive my help. Take my hand, my friend, and I will renew your life. I love you. Now, how does that make you feel, dear friend of this apostolate? I am he who will sustain you, and I made you, and I will carry you. And that's from Isaiah 46, verse 4. Shift your attention tonight, or today, after this program, unto Jesus, and begin to praise him. He's your comforter, your helper, your savior, your Lord. Stand up. I'm going to say it again. Raise your arms, lift your voice, and sing to him. Praise the Lord, O my soul. So unfulfilled longings in the area of your life. You know those secret things that we keep stuffing down? This is when people, we all actually go underground, don't we? This is very critical to our lives. It's a danger zone with a red alert sign. There are things we crave that aren't good for us, and they create blind spots. And these are things we crave that are healthy, God-given desires. There are things that are God-given desires. People crave acceptance and significance. Now, if they're not surrendered, these needs can actually lead you astray. As we give him all of our cravings, our unfulfilled wishes, our unsatisfied needs, hopes, and hungers, he will bring us to a place of deep fulfillment. It says in Ephesians 3, verse 20 to 21, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, Jesus Christ." So what if you're feeling resentful as you leave work today, or if you're picking the kids up from school or daycare? In Jeremiah 12, verse 1, it says, "You're always righteous, O Lord, when I bring a case before you. Yet I would speak with you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper all the time? Why do all the faithless live at ease?" Remember the book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Well, this is the scripture. This is the scripture for it. Do you resent when things aren't fair? We are human, and it is part of human nature. Forgive that person who you think prospered better than you, got the raise, their child got an award. Show me what needs changing, Lord. Teach me to listen to your truth more than my own feelings. Thank you for your patience. Please forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Please, God, help me to pray for others who feel mistreated. If there was fighting with family, any friends, any coworkers, any serious injustice, maybe a car accident, please help them, Lord. Help them to look beyond their feelings and take a stand against the desire to rebel or retaliate. We see on the news every night the gunfire, the retaliation, the hatred, the anger. Let them not pay back wrong for wrong, but be kind to one another. Please bring healing and restoration, Lord. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered, is it? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves, doesn't it, my friends? That's love, and that's what the Lord wants of us and that he gives us. Now, he's also asking us to lay down our resentment as a love offering and to sing to him. "You're the God who performs miracles, after all. You display your power among the peoples." I want you to think about this. Repentance means concrete recognition of our offenses, being genuinely sorry, determination not to do it again, asking for and receiving forgiveness. And if you're Catholic or belong to a sacramental church, it's confession or the sacrament of reconciliation. We must resolve to take responsibility for our lives and stop blaming others. So let's pray. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's from Psalm 139. So, what if you're feeling stuck? You're just getting out of work. You're just tuning into the program. Are you stuffing your feelings along with stuffing your turkey this week? That's the theme of this program. So what if you're stuck? Not stuffed, stuck. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there's no foothold. I've come into the deep waters. The floods engulf me. I'm worn out calling for help. That's Psalm 69, verses 1 through 3. Didn't Jesus always go to the other side of the lake? And he found a man by an evil force. No one was strong enough to subdue him. He snapped every chain, broke the irons on his feet. Night and day he cried out on the hillside and cut himself with stones. And with one word, Jesus set him free. Then Jesus told him, go home to your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Can you do that? Can you do that? Jesus wants us to believe in his power to set us free from bondage today, to receive the help he offers and share the good news with others. Did you ever find it was easier to be sick than to be well? And sometimes we fear change because the known problem is easier to cope with than the unknown victory. So during one very dark period in your life, you may have heard the Lord whisper, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Now choose life, for the Lord is your life. With the Holy Spirit alive in us, we can choose what's right even when we don't feel like it. So, my friends, I pray for all of you in a very special way that this is a very special Thanksgiving and that this program has touched you in some special way. For, you see, God desires to talk to us so we can understand what he wants in our lives. And I'm going to end with this very special prayer to Our Lady of Guadalupe. So join me in praying this. Known for certain that I am the perfect and perpetual Virgin Mother, Mary, Mother of the true God, here I will show and offer all my love, my compassion, my help, my protection to the people. I am your merciful mother, the mother of all those who have confidence in me. Here I will hear their weeping, their sorrows, and will remedy and alleviate their suffering, necessities, and misfortunes. Listen and let it penetrate into your heart. Do not be troubled or weighed down with grief. Do not fear any illness or vexation, anxiety or pain. Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not your fountain of life? Are you not in the folds of my mantle? In the crossing of my arms, what else do you need? Now state your intention. My friends, I pray until next week. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And I pray in a very special way that you are free to praise and to bless God for all those who have hurt you and would hinder you from having a joyful week of Thanksgiving and entering into Advent. God bless you.
Alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.